Thank you, Karen, very much. Good morning. I want to begin by wishing all of you a Gmar Chasima Tova, a good Gebench Yor, for us and for our families and for all of Klal Yisrael. It's an honor to acknowledge the presence of my mother, who is here, Mrs. Penina Schachter, who honors me with her presence. And also to thank the Arbisfeld family for everything they've done to make possible this Midrashat Yom Rishon. On this particular day, my wife Yocheved and I are sponsoring this learning in memory of our beloved friend Azriel Galoa, Zichrono Lebracha, Rav Azriel Ben Rav Avram Vachana. It's hard for us to even put that phrase together, Azriel Zichrono Lebracha. He was a real devoted friend to us and to so many others. He was exceptionally kind and exceptionally generous with his time and with his advice and with his financial resources. He loved Eretz Yisrael. He personified the centrality of the phrase Torah Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael. He was an Oev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom, never heard a bad word about anybody from him, which is really remarkable. He was intellectually curious. He was interested in so much about so many different things. And most of all, he was so dedicated and devoted to his family, to Judy and to the kids and to their extended family, and they meant everything to him. At his core, he was a wonderful person with all the wonderful values and great values that we admire. And he was taken lo bikitzo. He was taken before his time. He was taken long before his time, and we miss him terribly. And we extend our nechama to Judy and to all the members of his family. One of the central passages of the Yom HaNoraim liturgy is Unesana Tokev. It's a little bit of a mix-up I see on the sheet, so you have to turn two pages until you get to page one. Folded into my sheets for today are the sheets for the next presentation, so you have an advance look at the next year. So just keep on turning, and on page three is really page one. So it says page one at the bottom. And we begin with Unesana Tokev Kedushas Hayom. Unesana Tokev Kedushas Hayom, the central highlight, one of the central highlights of the liturgy, 2 days Rosh Hashanah, which we already recited and forthcoming on Yom Kippur. And we end with Uchuvot Tfilot Tzedakah Ma'avirin Esroa Hagzera. In the English translation from the late Philip Birnbaum's Machzer, Tshuva, Tfilo, Tzedakah, but repentance, prayer, and charity cancel the stern decree. So my question is that in fact the case? Is it in fact in our power to cancel the stern decree? And if suffering does happen, and if there is an evil decree, so is that proof that we didn't try hard enough to try to get rid of it? Are we then responsible? If only we would have done a little bit more tshuva, if only we would have done a little bit more tefillah, if only we would have given a little bit more tzedakah, then it would have gone away. Reflections on Yom HaDin. Why do the righteous suffer? This is the hardest question. The hardest question that we know from our own lives' experiences. You don't need a book, you don't need a source, we just know it. And I bring you to start a source from outside of our tradition, from Peter Berger, The Sacred Canopy. The bottom left of the first page, Peter Berger writes as follows, at the end of the third line, if all rival or minor divinities are radically eliminated, and if not only all power but all ethical values are ascribed to the one God who created all things in this or any other world, then the problem of theodicy becomes a pointed question directed to this very conception. Indeed, more than in any other religious constellation, namely our religious constellation, where we believe in a Borei Olam, and we believe that the Borei Olam didn't just put the world into motion, but is constantly involved with the world. For us, it may be said that this type of monotheism, ours, stands or falls with its capacity to solve the question of theodicy, how can God permit? What I want to do this morning is to work through some suggestions that are found in our texts and our sources that deal with this question. Ultimately, hard to understand. Ultimately, they don't really resonate maybe so much with many of us, if not all of us. And then I want to suggest at the end something that I try to hold on to personally when grappling with this most difficult of all issues. So we know that the biblical paradigm, which is really for us more of a source of a question than an answer, the biblical paradigm is the paradigm of reward and punishment. The biblical paradigm, which we say in the second parsha, the second parak of Kriya Shema, and we say it so many times on the bottom right of the first page, Vayom Shamoa Tishmol Mitzvosai, if you follow my commandments and you love God and you serve Him, then v'nosati mitar artzachem bi'ito v'yosafto digonecho v'nosati esev v'sotcho levemtecho, then you'll have food, you'll have sustenance. We understand this not only physically but in all ways possible. If you do the right thing, then God will reward you. But if chas v'sholom yishamru lochem pen yiftel levavchem v'sartem v'avadetem Elohim acherem, but if you go ahead and worship other gods, and it doesn't only mean worship other gods, but it means not follow generally in the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then v'yotzar es ha-shamayim v'chara af ha-shem b'chem, then you're not going to get sustenance and you're not going to get everything that you need. So there seems to be a pretty straightforward quid pro quo parallelism. Reward and punishment. If you do good, you get rewarded. If you don't, then the opposite happens. For us, I think this is more of a source of a question than an answer. Because it just doesn't compute for us. It just simply doesn't compute for us. I want to strengthen the question by a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on page 2, 16b, Tez Zayin Amid Beis. It's a famous vision. It's a famous image. It's a Talmudic passage that we've heard before, that again compounds the problem. Amar Rav Chos Bedoy, Amar Rav Yochanan. So it's about halfway down the wide lines. It's underlined. Amar Rav Chos Bedoy, Amar Rav Yochanan. Shlosha Sfarim Niftachim Barash Hashanah. So we know about the books. It's in Unesan Etoka. If we talk about the books are open, they're books. How many books are there open on Rosh Hashanah? There are three books. Shlosha. Sfarim niftachim b'Rosh Hashanah. Echad shel Rishon Gemurim, ve'echad shel Tzadikim Gemurim, ve'echad shel Beinonim. You have Tzadikim Gemurim. Rashi later on defines Tzadikim Gemurim as somebody who has mostly good deeds. Rashi defines Rishon Gemurim. If you look to the next to the last line of Rashi, Rishon Gemurim, Rubam Avonos. Mostly Avonos. So it's actually unbelievably striking. It's not what you and I would have thought. We think a tzaddik gomer is mamish, a heilige, unbelievable tzaddik, and we think a rasha gomer is the worst of the worst. And a beinoni, what's a beinoni? A beinoni is somebody in the middle. So I hope that I'm a beinoni, a tzaddik gomer v'nechnisht. I hope I'm not a rasha gomer. So I'm a beinoni. So we would imagine that the tzaddik gomer is, I don't know, 1%, and a rasha gomer hopefully is not more than 1%, and 98% of people, of Jews, live in the world of Beinoni. So Rashi says, actually, that a tiny infinitesimal percentage of Jews live in the world of Beinoni, because if you're 51% one way or another, then you're in the extreme categories. So we have three books. What happens to the three books? Says the Gemara, Tzadikim Gemurim Nechtovim V'Nechtomim La'alter L'Chayim. The Tzadikim Gemurim get written down and inscribed immediately. What's La'alter immediately? When is immediately? When is the immediately? When are these books open? Shlosh Yisvarim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah. That means that already on Rosh Hashanah, last week, the Tzadikim Gemurim were not only written but were inscribed immediately for life. Rishon Gemurim Nechtovim V'Nechtomim La'alter. The Rishayim Gemurim are immediately written and inscribed for the opposite of life. Beinanim, the middle category of those that are, according to Rashi, 50-50, exactly 50-50, it's hard to imagine. It's hard even to imagine that there's such a thing as somebody who's exactly in the middle. So let's understand it the more conventional way. We who are neither Tzadikim Gemurim nor Rishon Gemurim, Kluyim Va'omdim Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim. That's why the time that we find ourselves in now, the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, is so important. We're hanging. Zochu Nechtovim L'Chaim, Lo Zochu Nechtovim Munisa. And the Gemara brings two psukim. The Gemara brings two verses to support this assertion. Amar Abavin Maikra quotes a pasuk, and then Rabbi Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar Mehacha, Rabbi Yachum Bar Yitzchak quotes a pasuk. So twice is this assertion anchored in the biblical text, giving, it would appear, a divine imprimatur to this concept, namely, that tzadikim are immediately inscribed, written and inscribed for life, rishayim, gemurim, immediately inscribed for the opposite, and beinanim have until Yom Kippur. So we know that there are, certainly according to Rashi's interpretation of tzadikim gemurim, we know that there are people who are not inscribed immediately for life. We know people who don't make it through the year. We know people who somehow don't fall into that category. We consider them tzaddikim, we consider them righteous, we consider them people who are rubam mitzvos. They live their lives in accordance with Jewish law and Jewish values. But yet they're not nechtavim v'nechtamim la'alter l'chayim. So the biblical paradigm of reward and punishment is repeated in this Talmudic passage, once again providing us with more questions than answers. As a matter of fact, on page 3, I xeroxed for you from the drasha of the Ramban on Rosh Hashanah. The Ramban Nachmanides, who lived in Spain in the 13th century, has a whole drush on Rosh Hashanah. It's hard to believe that he delivered that drusha because it's about 40 pages long. Probably would have taken him 7 hours to deliver the drusha. So on the one hand, I wish I would have been sitting there. And on the other hand, it would have been hard for me to sit there for 7 hours and listen to the Ramban's drusha. Even the Ramban's drusha, on the other hand, what kind of schus would be to sit and listen to the Ramban's drush? So the Ramban says as follows, top left of page 3, V'yesh lishol, no less than the great Ramban, who we all know and respect and adore, says the Ramban, V'yesh lishol, V'heich pasak Rabbi Yochanan, P'sak hadin ha-godol v'ha-omuk hazeh, shekol rozei olam tuluyim bo. How is it possible? How is it possible? V'heich, pasak Rabbi Yochanan, how could Rabbi Yochanan shtel avek, paskin, assert this principle godol and amok, that the whole world hangs on? How could he do this? And say, tzadikim gemurim nechtovim v'nechtomim la'alter l'chayim, v'chi chola tzadikim chayim, v'chola rishayim meisim. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Rabbi Yochanan? What, you think it's so simple? Is that really the way the world operates? Is that the way it is? All the tzaddikim live, and all the rishayim don't? V'halo olam v'chol chemda lo l'rishayim hu. The whole world, the whole olam hazeh, everything precious in the world is the rishayim. The rishayim ladin zechap a Chazarish and Tug. They have a great time. They're living the life for Riley. They're chugging along, doing well. Everything is fine. And it's wonderful. So what are you talking about? What are you talking about? He just doesn't understand. He asks the question that maybe we're afraid to ask, but we're also asking. What are you saying? Can't be. It's not like that. And in addition, Vaksuvim Tzafchu Kenegdo. There are psukim in Tanakh who speak against this paradigm. Yesh tzadik ove bitzitko. Pasuk says there's a tzadik who is destroyed, who dies with his tzitkis. So with the ala tzitkis, the tzadik is ove bitzitko. Uchsiv v'chiyesh tzadikim shemagi aleim kemasa ha-rishoyim. There are tzadikim who get what the rishoyim should get. So we acknowledge it. We're aware of it. It's a reality. The Kolshken Shepsak, Rishoyim Gemurim, Nechtamim V'Nechtamim La'alta L'misa. What are you telling me, that the Rishoyim Gemurim immediately get destroyed? The Pasuk says, V'yesh Rasha Ma'arich Bira Aso. There's a Rasha who could be Ma'arich, who's lengthened with his rishes. So it's not like somebody's a Rasha, boom, that's the end of it. V'chol ha-neviyim einan temehim el alzeh. All the prophets, that's all they wonder about, is this principle. V'harmer yirmiyo tzadik ata Hashem ki ariv alecha. And the v'chulu, the rest of the pasuk is, madua derech rishayim tzalecha. Why are the rishayim matzliach? So how could you tell me, Rabbi Yochanan, that it's such a simple matter, that this equation is perfect, it all works out, that there's this quid pro quo understanding? It's not like that. And more and more and more. Next to the last line, V'chi lo ra'a zeh ha-chacham sefer Iyov me'olam. But did this fine Talmudic rabbinic gentleman never read the book of Job? He never read Sefer Iyov? What's he saying? What is he saying? He never read Iyov? Shehu malei tochachos al zeh. The whole Iyov is full of this. How can you just glibly say, you just say, tzadikim got three books, and this is this book, and this is this book, and this is this, oh my Yisrael. What are you talking about? The Ramban, Milon Ugadu Meha Ramban, the Ramban simply doesn't understand what's happening. Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, the Baal Akedas Yitzchak, in the middle of the page. Iker ma shekivnu bazeh ha'inyan yisba'er. He also quotes the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, and he says that we'll begin to try to understand this kishena'amod al hasafek ha'otzum shehikshu hakadmonim bazeh hasafek ha'otzum. What's safek otzum? How would you translate safek otzum? It's not a safek, it's not a safekol, it's not a little questionable. It's a safek otzum. What's otzum in English? Strong, powerful, unbelievable. Otzum. Stark akasha. It's not a kashala. It's a safek otzum. Shehikshu akadmonim bazeh. The early ones already asked this question. Bazeh ha-maimar. Mima sheyeyed ha-chush al ha-hefach mima sheyegoz ruhubo. The Ramban asks akasha from Sukkim. And the Akedas Yitzchak asks a kasha from life. Mima sheyeyed ha-chush. Chush means our experience, our senses. We look, we see, we know that it's not like this. It's a hefach. Mima shegoz ruhubo. V'zeh ki kama risham gemurim lo meisu berov ha-shonim v'vo mishpatam lefnei Hashem. V'chama chasidim gemurim Nechresu yemehem, the echom asha tzadikim agamurim nechtovim v'nechtomim la'alta l'chaim v'harishon l'mavis. So whether the Ramban asks from psukim, from the book of Iyov, from other psukim, Rabbi Yitzchak Arama says, life, I don't need to be a biblical scholar. I just have to open up my eyes and live a little bit. It's not like this. So Rabbi Yitzchak Arama offers two answers. V'yesh mitartzin, akushya hazos. Here's the first answer, Rabbi Yitzchak Arami. You'll tell me. You'll tell me if you're satisfied with this answer, if this answer somehow helps you struggle and grapple with this issue. V'yesh mitartzan akusha azos bishe yomru, she'en ma'asei atzadikim v'har rishorim mikorim l'bnei yodam. U'mi yodeya im harosha ha-ma'arich yomim eino tzadik omar b'matzpunov ha-yiduim etzal Hashem Yisbarach. Yitzchak Arami says, we don't really know who's a Rasha and who's a Tzaddik. We don't really know. What do we know? We look from the outside. People are putting on an act. People, shtelling zechun from the outside, living a certain way, so we are misled. But only Hashem knows who they really are. And we think that this person is a Tzaddik. Forget about it. This person is not a Tzaddik. You think he's a Tzaddik. But deep down, the reality is that he's a Nisvarf, he's a Mushchis, he's a Rush, he's terrible. And that's why he got what he got. You're asking, why did he get what he got? He's a Tzaddik, how could it be? The answer is, no, he's not a Tzaddik. You think he's a Tzaddik, you don't know what you're talking about. And why is a Russian living such a wonderful life? Because you think he's a Russian. You don't know. Really, 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 he's a big Tzaddik. So you maintain the paradigm. You don't question the paradigm remains, reward and punishment. What you question is your judgment. What you question is your perspective. What does a human being know? A human being doesn't know anything. So you think they're a tzaddik, they're really not a tzaddik. You think they're a rasha, they're really not a rasha. So this leaves me cold. This leaves me cold because I know. I mean, I'm not a Navi. But you live with people, you spend time with people, you live a life with people, and you know, maybe a shtickle, you'd be fooled, a shtickle, epis, something, who knows, the chadrei chadorim, whatever, God, what happens. But you can't fool people. It doesn't work for me, this answer, that I really don't know. I do know. I think I know. And I think you know too. You know, you look around in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your shul, you know who the good people are. And you know who the not good people are. And I think I would trust your judgment. More or less, but not to be misled to such massive proportions. Second answer of the Akedas Yitzchak. And this answer actually does resonate with me. And the second answer is Shahamisa Vahaim Aniskarim Bazeha Maimer Haim Hanafshios Asher Ba'olam Haba. We're not talking about this world. When we talk about Chayim, when we talk about Maves, we talk about the world to come. And in the world to come, it's all going to work itself out. And this world is not really the ultimate world, and this world is not really the final world. This world is an entryway. And in the Olam HaEmes, and that's what we call it the Olam HaEmes. Why do we call it the Olam HaEmes? Because that's where really Emes is. And this world sometimes looks like an Olam HaSheker. It's not really fair, it's not really straight. But that world, the Olam Haba, is where it's all gonna come out. It's all gonna even out. So somebody who's having a wonderful life in this world, so they'll get theirs in the world to come. Somebody who's never having a hard life in this world, so they'll get theirs letov in the world to come. If you turn back to page 2, so that's actually what Tosfos says. Tosfos says on that Gemara. Tosfos says on the Gemara of Rosh Hashanah Tezayin Amid Beis, next to the last line, three lines from the bottom, all the way to the bottom, Tosfos Dibra Maschol V'Nechtamim La'Alter, says Tosfos, towards the end of three lines from the bottom, V'Chol Zed Kari Hocha Gabi Risha'im Misa V'Gabi Tzadikim Chayim Klomar L'Chaye Ha'olam Haba. So we believe that there is such a thing as the world to come, and in the world to come, that's where it's going to all work itself out. If you look at the bottom of page 3, so I xeroxed the Medrash for you in Parshas Noach, but the Medrash seems to say the same thing. If you look 5 lines from the bottom, in the middle of the line, Medakte Gimat Tzadikim, the Medrash says, bottom of page 3, Medakteik imat tzadikim, God deals precisely with the righteous, v'gova mehem miut ma'asim ro'am sha'osu ba'olam aseh, and exacts punishment for the few bad deeds that they did. The punishment is exacted in this world, k'dei la'ashpia lohem shalva v'litein lohem socher tov la'olam haba. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives an onesh for the few averis in this world, so that when a time comes to go to Olam Haba, everything is going to be wonderful, and the other way around. Mashpia shalva lo rishaim, v'nosein lohem schar mitzvos kalos sha'osu ba'olam hazeh. If the royal Russia did epis something good, so they get paid for the good by having a good life in this world, and then kedei lehipara mehen, that's where the trouble is going to really happen to them. So far there are two explanations. One explanation of Rabbi Yitzchak Arama is we don't know who's who. The second explanation, Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, Tosfos, and the Medrash, Olam Haba. Olam Haba. Third answer, page 4. Medrash and Shir HaShirim tells us something very interesting. It tells us a story. It's a story also found in the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, but I gave you this version. This version is the most striking version. On the Pasuk HaRoeh Bashoshanim, says the Medrash as follows, on the top of page 4. Rabbi Yochanan is Yaser, Va'avad Chshash Bitz Mar Moraya, you have the English translation on the left-hand side. Rabbi Yochanan got sick. He suffered from an illness, from a particular illness. He translates it here as gallstones, for 3.5 years. It's an illness that's extremely painful. Salak Rabbi Chanina lemevakora yasei. Rabbi Chanina came to visit him. Rabbi Chanina came to visit Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Le, he says to him, Ma isalach. What's going on? What's happening? Amar lei, so Rabbi Yochanan says, Is alai yoser mi masai. I am suffering more than I could possibly bear. A terrible yisurim. Nebuch. Terrible. Amar lei, so his visitor, Rabbi Chanina, says to him, Lo tehei omer ken. You shouldn't say that. It's not nice for you to say that you're suffering more than you can bear. Ela hevei omer hakel anema. You should accept whatever it is, and you should say, God is the truthful God. So it's probably hard to say, Hakel Haneman, when you're terribly suffering, but he gave him Musar, you shouldn't complain, you should be Makabal, you should say, Hakel Haneman. Karhava Tzara Kashi Aloi. So when he would be in pain, Hava Omar Hakel Haneman. So he listened to what he said. His chavrusa, Reb Chanina, told him he should say Akel HaNeman. So when things got tough, so he said Akel HaNeman. But v'chad hava maksha aloi tzare yoseh mitzarko. But when it just reached a level that was just beyond what he could possibly bear, hava solek Reb Chanina. So Reb Chanina would come to visit him. Amar aloi mila v'hava nosev nefash. He would utter some kind of an epis, some kind of a word, let's say some kind of an incantation, and it would be okay. That Rav Chanina had certain powers, and he was able to invoke the divine mercy by the recital of particular words. So in the zchus of the reciter, and in the zchus of the recitee, so David stood geholfen, and it went away. It wasn't so bad. Lebasa Yomin, after some time, itchash Rabbi Chanina. Right now Rabbi Chanina got sick. What happens when Rabbi Chanina gets sick? So Rabbi Yochanan comes to visit Rabbi Chanina. It's like Rabbi Yochanan limevakre. Amar Lei says to him, Mo yisalach, what's going on? Amar Lei, so Rabbi Chanina says, Ma koshen hein ha yisur. How hard and how painful it is. Amalei umascharon meruba. But look, what kind of a reward you're going to get, says Rabbi Yochanan to the ailing and suffering Rabbi Chanina. So what does Rabbi Chanina say when Rabbi Yochanan says, look at the great reward you're going to get for all of this suffering? Ben Michael, the suffering. Nich ben Michael, the reward. Amalei lo ana ba'e lahon velo la'agrehon. Michael, you know, I could do without it. It's an amazing thing. He says you're going to get great rewards. Michael, the reward. I don't want to suffer. I am suffering. You're going to tell me that somehow it's going to work out well? Forget about it. It's not worth it for me. I don't want to suffer. No suffering, no reward. Amar leis, Rabbi Yochanan says, Lama leis at Omar hahi milsa, dahavias Omar olai v'itnesiv nefash. So he says to Rabbi Chanina, after all, don't you remember when I was sick and it was impossible? What did you do? You came to visit me, and how did you help me? You uttered some words and it went away. So now, Nebuch, you're sick, but you know these words. So utter these words for yourself and you'll be able to heal yourself. Amalei, so he says to him, Kad havina milavor, havina orev la'acharin. V'chadun da'ano milagav, les ano bo'i acharonan di'arvuni. A sick person can't heal themselves. It's very profound and it's very true. Somebody who themselves is suffering can't heal themselves. Somebody who's the best eitzah giver, somebody who's wonderful in helping other people, it's great that they can help other people, but to help themselves is a whole different matter. So he said, when you are sick, I can help you. But now that I'm sick, I need somebody else to come and help me. So he says, okay, I'm going to help you. And this is answer number three. This is what Rabbi Yochanan tells Rabbi Chanina. And this is the Medrash in Shir HaShirim. And this is the Pasuk of Haro'eh Bashoshanim. Ksiv Haro'eh Bashoshanim. Ein sharvito shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu memash meishu ba. That God only brings difficulties and challenges to people who basically can handle it, who basically can take it, who bend. The Medrash continues that if, in the context of flax, the Medrash says that if the flax stands and it's hard, what happens if the wind comes and blows hard against the flax? It's going to snap. It's going to snap. What happens when the wind blows hard on grass? On Haro'eh Bashoshanim? So it bends, it doesn't snap. God only blows the wind hard for people where it's not going to snap. That's what he says. So therefore, you should get some nechama from this. You wanted to know what's going on. I don't know the incantation that you know, so I'm leaving you with a thought. And the Medrash says this three times. In the next paragraph, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu menaseh harishayim. In the fourth line, Lama, She'ein on yecholun lamo. God doesn't test the wicked because they couldn't handle it. Umihu menaseh hatzadikim. Next line. Next paragraph, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end, Menasa l'Rasham, She'enon Yecholim Lamo, U'menasa l'Tzadikim. This is answer number three in the Medrash. And for some reason, doesn't quite help me so much. And I'm tempted to echo Rabbi Chanina, when Rabbi Chanina said, Lo ano boy lahon velo lagrehon. I don't have to be such a knacker. I don't have to be such a starker. Make me weaker and then spare me. Page 5. When I started working on this, I actually hoped that I would walk away from it a little bit better than I ended up walking away from. Because it's a real question. It's a real question. So number one, we don't know who's a Russian, who's a tzaddik. Number two, Olam Haba. Number three, you know, if you couldn't handle it, God wouldn't give it to you. number 4. So the Gemara says in Brachas on Daf Hey, I just want to mention it to you. It's somewhat related to number 2. Gemara says in Brachas, in the middle of the page, in the middle of Daf Hey Amid Aleph and Masechas Brachas, right before the underlined lines, 2-3 lines before, Amar Rava, the word beginning Rava, the beginning of the line, Amar Rava, the Itema Rav Chizda. Rava says, and some say Rav Chizda said, you have it, it's 2 lines before, it's underlined, on Daf Hey Amid Aleph, it's page 5. Im roa adam shi yisurin boin alav yafashvesh b'masav. So this I understand very well, that if somebody is being challenged, if there are issues that they have to face, so they have to be introspective. You have to try to look into yourself. You have to try to look into yourself. You have to try to use it as an opportunity to make yourself better. Pishpesh v'lo matza. Quotes a pasuk. Let's say, I can't believe something like this. It's like amazing. So I did my cheshbon ha-nefesh. Everything is wonderful. I am perfect. Pish, pesh, v'lo matzah. There's not a single thing. I couldn't find anything. It's like amazing that there even is such a category. Pish, pesh, v'lo matzah. Yitla bebitul Torah. Must be that I didn't study enough Torah. So the first time around, when I was being mefashvesh, I also asked myself about Torah. And I decided that I am studying enough Torah, because if I would have decided I'm not studying enough Torah, so that I would have nailed it, that I have to study more Torah. No, I decided, I made a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and it's not a joke. I'm not fooling anybody. It's a serious cheshbon ha-nefesh. I was mefashvesh. I really drilled in and looked in and really made a whole checklist. And I went through all the Oshamnos and all the Alchets and everything and all the Taryag Mitzvahs and all the Dairaises and all the Darabanans. And they check, 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 check. Everything checked. And my Torah study also checked. Nope. Nope. You think it checked. Pishvesh v'lo matzah. Go back to the Torah line. You can do a little bit more. The im tola v'lo matzah. So I went back, and I still couldn't find. I went back to the Torah line, and it's 100% rock solid. There's not an extra minute that I could be studying Torah. So what is it? The Yodua, says the Gemara, very difficult Gemara. She yisurin shel ahava heim. Yisurim shel ahava. These are challenges that God expresses out of God's love for us. Shenemar, Pasuk says, Ki eis asher ye'ehav, Hashem yochiyach. Who does God give tochacha to? To those who he loves. Zot Rashi, Yisurin Shalava. Look in the middle of the left-hand side on Rashi. It's almost halfway down on the top left-hand side of the page. Yisurin Shalava. Says Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyasro ba'olam hazeh below shum avon. No, it's not like that the reason why chas v'shalom difficult things are happening is because there's this reward and punishment paradigm. It's nothing to do with that. It's not punishment. There is no avon. You drilled 3 times and you couldn't find anything. There is no avon. There's nothing to find. So why, Nebuch, is it so difficult for you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyasra ba'olam hazeh below shum avon, kedei laharbo schoro ba'olam haba yoseh mikedei schiyosav. Because if I didn't suffer, I was going to get a schelik in olam haba. What's my schelik in olam haba? It's going to be commensurate with the good deeds that I did. But now I'm going to get even more schar in olam haba. Going to get an extra bonus in olam haba, commensurate with the non-deserved suffering that I have in this world. Yisurim shalav. the end of the day, you don't know really who a Rashi is, who a Tzaddik is, Olam Haba. God only gives it to those who can take it. Yisur and Shalava, which is also, according to Rashi, related to Olam Haba. At the end of the day, we're left struggling with a very serious issue. And we're left with a passage in a poem or in a play by Robert Frost. If you look on the next page, so I remember Girsa de Yankasa when I was younger. When I was younger, I read this by Robert Frost. There's a tremendous amount of wisdom in Robert Frost. So Robert Frost sets up a scene on page six, A Mask of Reason. A fair oasis in the purest desert, a man sits leaning back against the palm, his wife lies by him looking at the sky. And they have a whole conversation. And the wife says, about more than halfway down on the left-hand side, there's a strange light on everything today. The end of the next, the man says, the last line, someone's caught in the branches. So there is, he can't get out. He's loose, he's out. Says the wife, it's God. Says the wife towards the bottom, go over and speak to him before the others come. Tell him he may remember you. Your Job, says God. Oh, I remember well, your Job, my patient. How are you now? I trust you're quite recovered and feel no ill effects from what I gave you. So Job says, now we know who the man is. The man is Job. Three lines in. Yeah, I'm fine, except for now and then a reminiscent twinge of rheumatism. Says God, and that's what I want to draw your attention to, because la'achar kichlos hakol, I don't think we can get past this. I've had you on my mind 1,000 years to thank you someday for the way you helped me establish once and for all the principle. There's no connection man can reason out between his just deserts and what he gets. Virtue may fail and wickedness succeed. 'Twas a great demonstration we put on. Skip a couple of lines. Too long I've owed you this apology for the apparently unmeaning sorrow you were afflicted with in all those old days. But it was the essence of the trial. You shouldn't understand it at the time. It had to seem unmeaning to have meaning. V'achar kichlos hakol, at the end of the day, God thanks Job for the way you helped me establish once for all the principle that there's no connection man can reason out between his just deserts, namely what we believe they deserve, and what they get. So what do we do? And how do we go from here? So I want to leave you with a thought. It's a thought that I think about a lot. It's a thought that's comforting to me, and I hope it might be helpful to you also. Because to be left with this feeling is a very sad feeling. And it's a very hard feeling, and it challenges us. Especially during Shabbat Shuva and Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the uncertainty is so palpable, and I really believe that it's important to come face to face with it. At least once during the year, we should not sugarcoat and not try to make believe, but be honest. So we need to be honest. And when we're honest, we're troubled. And when we're troubled, it's not a good feeling. So I leave you with page 7. The uncertainty that we feel is at the core of Rosh Hashanah. And I would argue by extension, from Rosh Hashanah all the way through until after Yom Kippur. What's the mitzvah hayom of Rosh Hashanah? What is the single mitzvah taseh that we identify that's paradigmatic for the day of Rosh Hashanah? Shofar, the mitzvah of shofar. The mitzvah of shofar is steeped with uncertainty. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, it's on page 7. The Gemara says, Seder Tekios, the Mishnah says that the order of the Tekios is Shalosh al Shalosh Shalosh, Shior Tekia Kishalosh Teruos, Shior Terua Kishalosh Yevavos. It's a whole complicated description of exactly what the sounds are and how long the sounds should be. Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, it's underlined on the first segment on page 7. Amar Abaya, Bahavadei Plegi. There's a disagreement. Because the pasuk says Yom Teruwa Yihye Lochem, it should be a Yom Teruwa. Umetargeminan, and what does Yom Teruwa mean? Yom Yevava Yehe Lochon. It's a day of Yevava, and what does Yevava mean? Skip to the next line. Mar Savar Genuche Ganach, Umar Savar Yelule Yolu. One of them, one interpretation of Yevava is it's a krecht, it's a moan. And one of them is it's like a wail. So the association with the moan is the shvarim, and the association with the wail is the trua. And they're surrounded, each of them, by a tekia on either side. So we don't know what Yom Trua means. The way the Torah refers to Rosh Hashanah, the Torah doesn't call it Rosh Hashanah, and the Torah doesn't call it Yom Adin, the Torah calls it Yom Trua. That's the biblical name for this holiday. What does that mean? Answer, I don't know. I am uncertain. Does it mean this kind of a sound? Or does it mean that kind of a sound? And our uncertainty has implications. If you look at the bottom of page 7, Iskin Rabbi Avohu, this is the Gemara Daf Lamed Daled Amid Aleph, Iskin Rabbi Avohu Bekisri, Tekiya, Shlosha Shavarim, Teruwa Tekiya. Rabbi Avohu instituted that the core sound of the shofar should be Tekiya, 3 Shavarim, Teruwa, which consists of 9 little sounds, and then Tekiya. So the Gemara asks, Ma'an of Shach? Doesn't make any sense. I Yalule Yalil, if it means wailing, Le'evid Tekiya, Teruwa Tekiya, then we should do a Teruwa surrounded by Tekiyos. The Iganuche Gonach, and if it means moaning, Le'evet Tekiya, Shlosha Shvarim Tekiya. We should do Shvarim surrounded. So what are you talking about? It's either this or that. So if it's this, you should do this, and if it's that, you should do that. And for the Gemara Mesafkale, Iganuche Gonach, Iyelule Yolel. What's the answer? We're uncertain. The uncertainty of Rosh Hashanah is drilled into the very performance of the single mitzvah that identifies what Rosh Hashanah is. The whole blowing of the shofar is an expression of uncertainty. Misafkale. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. So I try to cover my bases. So I do both. But at the end of the day, I don't know. But there is one thing that we do know. If you look on the top right-hand side of page 8, right after we finish shofar, we say, Ashrei ha'am yodei seruah. And there's something very ironic here, and actually when I realized it, I was very struck by it. The word teruah is the source of uncertainty. Teruah means uncertainty. What do we say as soon as we finish hearing the sounds of the shofar? Ashrei ha'am yode'e teruah. We know the teruah. So it doesn't help me if I know uncertainty. So what does teruah mean? look, turn the page over. There's a pasuk in Parshas Balak, one of the psukim that we recite during the Shofros section of the Amidah on Rosh Hashanah. Lo hibit aven b'Yaakov, v'lo ra'a amol b'Yisrael, Hashem elo kavimo, u'teruas melech bo. Says Rashi on Teruas Melech Bo, underlined in the middle of Rashi on the side on page 8, Lashon Chiba Vereus. Lashon Chiba Vereus. What does Terua mean? Chiba means love, and Reus means friendship. Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Serua. What do I know? Or what do I hope I know? Or what do I aspire to know? Or what do I wish I really knew? And that is the sense of chiba vereus, at its core, a relationship. That I feel that there's a relationship between me and God. I don't understand it. I am mixed up. And maybe I'm even angry. And maybe I'm for sure angry. But at its core, there's a relationship. And I believe that there's chiba v'reus. If you turn to the last page, Rabbi Soloveitchik mentions this idea in different ways. It is a typology in Rabbi Soloveitchik's thinking. But I want to just give you one, and if I have time, a second example. He's talking about his mother. Rabbi Soloveitchik, when he gave a hesped for his machatenista, for Mrs. Tversky, Rebbetzin Tversky, the mother-in-law of his oldest daughter, when she died in the late 70s, so Rabbi Soloveitchik gave a hesped and it was published. And he writes about his own mother, and being maspid, his machatenista, he's talking about his own mother. And he writes and said, and then published, I admit, top left, page 9, I am not able to define precisely the Masoretic role of the Jewish mother. And he talks about the impact that his mother had on him. I remember the nostalgic tune, I learned from her very much. Next paragraph, most of all I learned that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but also in a living experience. She taught me that there is a flavor, a scent, and a warmth to mitzvahs. I learned from her the most important thing in life, and this is the line that I want to highlight. Rabbi Soloveitchik, the great genius, learned not from his father, but he learned from his mother the most important thing in life, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of his hand resting upon my frail shoulders. But if we could only be in a position where we could feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of his hand resting upon our frail shoulders. So at the end of the day, we don't understand. At the end of the day, it doesn't compute. And it doesn't compute. V'negitza chadre, it doesn't compute. The only thing that computes for me is Olam Haba. But, you know, der Welt is euchet Welt. It would be nice to have a little more nachas here also. And why do some people have it so difficult? So I don't know. But what sustains me is the effort, and ultimately for me, the firm belief to feel the presence of the Almighty, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And I think that's what it means, Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Serua. Not the uncertainty of the Terua, but the Terua Miloshon Chiba Vereus. On the right-hand side, Rabbi Soloveitchik has this unbelievable quote where he talks about our relationship with God as a romance. He uses a term that I never before heard in terms of our relationship with God. A romance is a relationship between two lovers. It's between a husband and a wife. There's a romance. It's romantic. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says it's romantic. Our relationship with God is romantic. It's a romance. Because it's a relationship, and it's not always perfect, and it doesn't always make sense. But if there's a core relationship, then somehow one draws comfort from the glet and from the hug of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in the most difficult and trying times. Utshuva, tefillot, tzedaka, ma'avirin es roa ha'gzera. It does not say ma'avirin es ha'gzera ha'ra'a. The late Philip Birnbaum's translation is a wrong translation. It doesn't mean cancel the evil decree. It doesn't mean that if the evil decree comes, it's my fault because I didn't do enough. We don't know why the evil decree comes. We have no clue why the evil decree comes. But if we are engaged in a relationship, if we understand what tshuva is, if we understand what tefillah is, tshuva is not only ben adam lamakom, but ben adam lachaveru, if we wrong one another. Tefillah requires not only a component of our relationship with God, but we need a tzibur, we need a community, we need a shul to daven. And tzedaka clearly presupposes a relationship with one another. If we feel a sense of the chiba and the reyus, if we feel a sense of the connection, if we feel like we're part of something bigger than us, if we feel we're part of a community, if we feel that we have a relationship to God, and somehow, in spite of all of the difficulties, we feel that God is there to try to help us, even though we sometimes blame God, but God is there to try to help us. God is sitting next to us on the bench. God is holding us up. If that is something that we could possibly get and feel, if we could feel the reyus ashrei ha'am yodes ruah, then it's ma'avirin the roah of the gzera. The gzera may come, but it's easier to handle. The edge comes off. The intensity, the absolute impossibility is somehow slightly helped because we know and we understand that hopefully that there's a relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should enable us as we come now close to Yom Kippur to try to be able to aspire to that relationship. And we should feel the hug and we should feel the caress, and that should sustain us and allow us to get through whatever it is that this year will bring, and hopefully it will only bring Chaim and Shalom, Zachreinu L'Chaim, Melech Chafetz V'Chaim, V'Chosveinu, V'Chosmeinu, V'Sefer HaChaim, L'Mancha Elokim.